Today seems, to some we'll say a second string. We'll just say we've gone deeper in the bench because there is no second string when it comes to the word. All right. And Quinn, another one who the fact that you were willing to prize relationship with this little piece of the body enough to want to come back and be an everyday part of it. We're grateful. And thank you so much for saying yes when asked to bring the word. And we're look forward to how God has inspired you, and we're ready to be prepared to get back out there.
Thank you, Sam. I was talking with Chloe today, and we decided that that people born in June are the most awesome people. Well, that wasn't what we were decided? March. Oh, we decided March. March and June. And January, February, April, May, July, August, September, November, December, October, and December. Every month are the most awesome people. I thought I was right when I thought the June was the most awesome. I might keep that. But I told her Connor was born in March, so March people are pretty cool to me, too. I'll tell you what, whenever I prepare for a message, something always happens. Something always happens. I don't know if that always happens with every preacher when they're seeking to bring the message. But this time especially was really, really difficult. It was hard to settle the mind. So many life circumstances were seeming to get in the way. I had a dream and a goal for this morning. We'll see if my planning and organization worked the way I thought, or if something different will come about this morning. I would like to start off reading from Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. So if you either turn on your Bibles, open them up, or just listen along. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to the sharing of God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps, be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. There's a lot packed into there. where I would like to focus and draw out here this morning is we can rejoice too when we face trials and problems, for we know they help us develop endurance. When we face trials, struggle, tribulation, how many of you have a goal? How many of you have had a dream of how your life would end up? How many of you have made a plan of what you would do with your life? Is your life right now everything you thought it would be? Are you living high on the dream of what God has for you? Or have your dreams and hopes been dashed on the rocks of disappointment, of hurt, heartache, of betrayal? Remember, we too can rejoice in trials and hardships. What has succeeded in your life? What plans have come to fruition in your life? I'd really like you guys to think this morning. What are my dreams? What are my hopes? What were they 5 minutes ago, 5 years ago, 5 decades ago? What were they? What were they? I believe that God plants dreams and passions and goals into our hearts, into our minds. And I also believe that sometimes life creeps in and chokes those dreams out, chokes those hopes out. Whether it's just circumstances that happen, whether it's other people speaking into our life, whether we take our eyes off Christ or not, where are our hopes? Where are our dreams? Where are they today? I haven't really run into anybody who hasn't had a goal, who hasn't had a dream in their life. I've talked about my kids. Michaela was born in June. And the one thing I absolutely love about this young woman, the one thing she's always had in her life, is a goal. Ever since she was a toddler, she had a goal. And it's her response has always been the same way. I'm going to get that. If I want it, I'm going to get it. And I'm not going to let anyone tell me that I can't have it. Sometimes as a father of a 16-year-old, that's a little difficult. But I absolutely love that about her. And it challenges me. Because I have dreams, I have hopes, I have aspirations that I've kind of let go. And her personality challenges me. Challenges me. To chase after my dreams, chase after my hopes. And Connor's kind of the same way. They're not here today to tell me not to talk about them, so I'm going to go ahead. But Connor's kind of the same way. He has this goal of being able to play professional soccer one day. And whether or not that's going to come to fruition, I don't know. But the one thing he's been doing here in the last year, he has definitely made it a goal in his life. He has definitely made it a plan and a priority in his life. He started waking up before school and running, something I would never do. I will leave that up to him and Roxy. He started running. Every single chance he gets. He used to be on the Xbox and PlayStation. Every chance he gets now, he's outside dribbling. I'll come home and he's in the living room dribbling. Sometimes that's a little unsettling with all the things that we have in the living room. But his heart and his passion are all about his dream, are all about his goal. And so my two children have dreams and goals and aspirations. And they challenge me because I've lost mine from when I was a teenager. I've gained some new ones, yes. But what are the goals and aspirations that I really, really, really need to be focusing on? Where has life choked out the ones that I need to focus on? Many of you know, and I've talked about it before, 12 years ago, some of the hardest, most difficult years of my life started to happen. And I found myself back here at Restoration. And many of you were there to encourage me, to support me, to walk alongside of me in those years. And this last decade has been filled with trials and tribulations. What does Romans say again? We too can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. We can rejoice? That wasn't too much fun. I'm much better now. I'm much happier now. But those years were not fun. I didn't find much rejoicing in those years. And sometimes I feel that we get a viewpoint that if God is for us, everything's going to be perfectly fine. If we're doing the right thing, if we're walking close to God, then our finances are going to line up and we're going to have much more than what we need. I have a feeling that sometimes we think to ourselves and say to other people, well, if you weren't living a life of sin, then you wouldn't be sick right now. That's really not accurate. That's really not biblically accurate. Life happens. Things happen. Bad things happen. And God isn't like, he's not a vendor where if we pray something or if we do something all the time, then he's going to say, yes, you were doing it, so I'm going to bless you. That's not how it works. God says, I'm going to walk alongside of you through life. And I will be there with you in the trials, in the tribulations. And my sons and daughters, my church, your brothers and sisters will be there with you. What are our dreams? What are our hopes? What are our goals in life? Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop planning. It may not end up the way you want, but never stop. Because God is with you. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. Didn't I just say that just because you do things right, just because you act right, doesn't mean that things will happen the way you want? Well, God is in the long game. And many times I feel that I am concerned with the here and now, the today, the tomorrow. And I'm not necessarily so concerned with the long game, what's actually happening. Are we actually committing our actions to God? Or are we just saying we are? To kind of trick God into blessing us. Jesus was concerned about the heart. When he came to earth and he was talking with people, when he was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would say, "We're doing everything right. We're doing what we're supposed to." And Jesus said, "Yes, but your heart is completely ugly and twisted." He said, "You're like whitewashed tombs." Just because we pray the right things, just because we do the right things, just because we go to church every Sunday, doesn't mean that our desires and our plans will come to pass. Are we seeking God's face? As Ricardo's keeps pressing us, are we in the Word? Are we taking time by ourselves to have one-on-one time with God? Or is this the only time we meet God or think about God? Just because we say something, just because we say we're good, just because we pray a good prayer, doesn't mean God is going to automatically say, "Yes, everything you want to happen is going to happen." Too many times we think of our own thoughts, our own wants, and our own desires. And that scripture that was talking about committing our ways to God, it's talking about, are we seeking God's face? Are we in lockstep with His will? Not are we asking Him to align Himself with our will and our desires. So what happens when our life kind of goes off the rails? What happens when life kind of throws a wrench in our plans? What happens when one day everything is fine and then we have a stroke and then we can't do anything? We can't go to work. We can't tie our own shoes. We can't stand up straight and walk right. What happens when life is going perfectly fine and then someone runs through a red light and smashes our car and we end up in the hospital? What happens if life is going great and then a war happens and death and destruction is all around? What happens when everything is going right in our life and then we're fired or let go from our job? What happens in our life when medical things happen and then finances start to become an issue and a problem? What happens in our life when things almost happen? A lot of times we make plans. We have hopes. We have in our mind what's going to happen. One thing I always think of is a story from when I was a freshman in high school. Our youth group went to Jamaica for a work project. Well, it worked best for my family to go on a vacation, kind of the tail end of that work project. So my family needed to leave their house, our house in Bradenton, Florida, and head to northern Michigan the day before I flew back. So the plan was they would stay just north of Atlanta, spend the night, and then continue on. I would leave Jamaica, get to Miami, catch a connection in Miami, fly to Detroit, where they would be waiting for me and pick me up, and then we would continue on to northern Michigan. Well, as life would have it, And in true Ashleman vehicle fashion, the Suburban that was being driven decided it would overheat in Tennessee. I think it was Tennessee. And it needed to go into the shop for several days. I didn't have my license at this point. I was still a freshman in high school, hadn't done anything much on my own. I was flying into Detroit Airport by myself, and my family was still in Tennessee. Sometimes plans change. But then there was an uncle of mine, Uncle Chris. He lived in Flint, which is a couple hours of drive away from Detroit. He came down and got me, and we drove back. I think he picked me up finally at midnight, and he had to work the next day. So he gave of his time. He put himself on the... He gave of his time. And he risked being too tired at his job to come get me because we needed help. And I love this story. I love this story. And it's not really that impactful. However, it's always been a story I look to when my plans don't go as planned. When life seems to happen a little bit different than what I've planned. And my question to us here today is, where in our lives have we been an Uncle Chris or an Aunt Chris? Because we all have the opportunity to walk alongside of somebody, to care for somebody, to give just a little bit. When somebody's life is a little bit in shambles, when plans aren't and dreams are falling apart and haven't come to fruition. Now, the response to the gospel is action. And my Uncle Chris expressed action. Yes, he was my uncle, and so he was family, and he felt a certain kinship with me. But we're family. We're brothers and sisters. We're supposed to be closer than aunts and our uncle, aunts and uncles and nephews. We're supposed to have that care about each other. Is something happening with you? How can I pray for you? And beyond that, how can I help you? How can I help you? And I know in my own life, that how can I help you part is a little more difficult than I can pray for you. Because like I said, life is really, really busy. And it's busy with things that aren't that bad. Work. My kids. Maybe an hour or two of sleep in there. But the things aren't that bad, but it's filled up. Some of you don't have work. Some of you have school and work. But where are our hopes? Where are our dreams? And what were they? Have they changed? Dreams do not always go as planned, like we've said before. And in my life, at least, the plans and dreams we have will typically go off track somehow, some way. We do not always know and understand why these things happen. Like we've said before, sometimes the wrench that gets thrown into our plans is sickness, death, war, job loss, financial difficulties, stress, betrayal. But if and when these happen, does that mean that God was not with us? That God was not in the dream? What about the tenacity that Michaela has after her goals? Do we have that same drive after our hopes and dreams? Do you think that when Joseph dreamed that his brothers would bow down before him, do you think he ever thought that he would be betrayed, sold into slavery, betrayed again, thrown into prison before that dream was realized? I don't think he thought that. Do you think that Job planned that he would get sick, lose all of his wealth, see his whole family die in front of him, and be left destitute, alone? Do you think that was his plan for his life? No. And that wasn't even the end of the story. God blessed him even more because of his faithfulness to God. So I have a question for you. How are you right now? Really, how are you? We've had 2 years of COVID and lockdowns. We've had years of political strife up against one side against the other. We've had racial strife in this country, one side against the other. We have wars going on across the world. We have friends caught in war zones. We have friends that have been betrayed. Where is our place? Where is our dream? Where is our hope? Because God says in Romans, be joyful when trials and tribulations come your way. Come again? Be joyful? Those times are not fun. But we're supposed to be joyful because we're supposed to see the end game. What is God doing in our lives? In Jeremiah 29, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you, and I will fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I think we like to stop there. Because we don't have to do anything if it stops there. But he continues. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. God has a plan for us as well. God has a plan for our lives as well. And sometimes he implants those dreams and hopes and goals in our hearts and in our minds. Sometimes he lets things get shaken up a bit because we get off focus. We were meant to walk in communion with God. We were meant to seek his face daily, constantly, to pray without ceasing. We were meant to seek him. Are we seeking him? Are we seeking him? Life doesn't always work out the way we think. There's a story that I heard of a man. It's present day. We're online, so the details I'm keeping. But there was a man who was destroying lives. He was literally killing people. One day, he just dropped his weapon down. And he said, I can't do this anymore. And he walked out. He just walked out. And he started walking. And he found himself in the wilderness, the literal wilderness desert. And he was alone. He wasn't quite sure if he had made the right decision, because now he was a wanted man. But in that wilderness, he had a vision of Jesus. He had what can be described as his own Damascus Road experience. And he became a witness to the grace, the forgiveness, the love of Christ in his community. Just like Saul, many of the people whose lives he destroyed were Christians. Why does God allow that amount of destruction? I don't know. I don't know that answer. But what I do know is that God is sovereign, that God cares about you. He cares about what you're doing. As the heart of a father, I want my kids to be happy. I want them to be absolutely thrilled and blessed in their life. But I can't make them be happy. I can walk alongside of them and be with them through life. I can help bless them as much as I can possible. But when push comes to shove, they're making their own decisions. They're making their own choices. And as a father, I just want relationship with them. I just want to see them be happy. And I think that's how God sees us. He wants you to be happy. He wants there to be joy in your life. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he's going to be there through life. He will walk alongside of us. And he will be there. He's not afraid of questions. He's not afraid of the why. But again, he's concerned with the long game. And sometimes that long game includes going through a wilderness experience. Sometimes that wilderness experience needs to happen before we can see fully who Jesus is. Maybe sometimes all the distractions need to be taken away from our lives before we can completely focus on Christ. When the children of Israel left Egypt, left bondage, they dropped their tools, they dropped their bondage, and they left, and they went out into the wilderness. And they had an encounter with God at Mount Sinai. And then they spent another 40 years walking around the desert in the wilderness before they got to the promised land. And it wasn't because God said, I'm just going to keep you there. It was because they were not focusing on God. They were doing things in their own power, their own might. They were doing their own thing. So where are we doing our own thing? God will allow us to. He'll allow us to. But as I can tell you, it's much better to do it with God. It's much better to do life with our eyes focused on God than doing things in our own way and turning our back on Him. So what is your dream for your life? What hopes do you have for your life? What goals do you have for this afternoon, even? Maybe you're even just sitting there wondering, okay, should I go to Red Lobster or should I go to Olive Garden after this guy gets done talking? Maybe it's even Taco Bell, because I've heard that's the cheapest place you can get gas. I'm sorry, I'm a father. I couldn't help it. But what dreams and hopes do you have in your life? And what dreams have you had that have been choked out by the world? Choked out by circumstance. Choked out by busyness. What hopes do you have? And then, are you seeking God's face? Because I think I can safely say that all of us want to. All of us want to live a life that honors God. But if we really, really, really seek and ask ourselves, are we? Are we happy in the trials? Do we have joy when the hardships come? Something that I ask myself quite a bit. Because more often than not, I'm not joyful when problems happen. I get quite grumpy. Quite grumpy. And many times it's just the little things. If someone wants to move over in my lane in front of me on the road. Sometimes it's just the little things. But we too can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. Amen. And that endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. It won't. When our hope is in Jesus, when our focus is on Jesus, we won't be disappointed. When Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water towards Jesus, he then looked at the storm around him, and he got fearful. He took his eyes off of Jesus, and he started to sink. Where is our hope? Where is our focus? It needs to continually be on Jesus. Continually. No matter what we're doing, no matter where our goals are, no matter where our heart is, where our actions are, needs to be on Jesus. I don't care what my children do. I don't care if Connor becomes a professional soccer player or not. The only thing I care about is that they keep their eyes on Christ. do I care about that, about my own life? Because it doesn't matter what I do with my life. It doesn't matter what job I have. It doesn't matter how I make income. It doesn't matter what I do with my free time. What matters is my focus on Christ. Because when my focus is on Christ, my actions and what I do will align up with Him and His Word. So where are our dreams? Where are our hopes? I'd like the worship team to come up as we start to close. And I would really like us to really think about, is Jesus first in our life? We can't really prepare for the trials, for the disappointments in life. We really cannot. Sometimes they're very, very heavy. And I have a friend who lost his wife. And he said, if it would have been up to him, he wouldn't have followed God into this experience. But now he's here. And he's sure going to follow God out. God loves you. God cares about you. He cares about your heartache. He cares about your pain. And I do too. I've been in some pretty dark places myself. I don't want anyone in here to feel alone, because God loves you. He cares for you. He's planted dreams and hopes and passions in your heart, in your mind. He wants your heart. He wants you to seek Him. Will you?